about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Gone the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame. Like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits. And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Sir Stallone speaking for a lot of Manchester United fans today. Hello, darkness, my old friend. We are back in the ballgame. I thought last season was bad. It looks like that was just a tune-up for what we're going to see this season. Rough start, rough go of it yesterday, getting beat up by the Brentford Bees down in London. This United side, sir, full of bluffers. They're already hanging out the new manager out to dry, let alone the front office, let alone the Glazers, not backing the manager. He is fighting with two hands behind his back in the most competitive league in the world, and United are miles off of it. Dejected. Fans are dejected, feeling the same way, a little bit hopeless. It's only getting worse, too. We got the Scouse Bastards back at home. Next Monday. Dude, this team, it's full of phony players that just don't know what it means to play and represent this great club, what it's going to take to get back to the top, and the amount of sacrifice, week in, week out, showing up, putting in a shift. Sir, we're a long way off it. How you doing? How we doing?
Sir, a long way off it. That's an understatement. Who would have thought slurring Sylvester Stallone?
Slurring
through that speech is what Manchester United needs as a club. I feel like that's a love letter to the club. You have changed. You're pointing fingers, making excuses. That's what cowards do. That isn't this club. It's about how much you can take, how much you can take the hits. And this club, so soft, top to bottom, that Glazer softness, that balding ponytail softness has run its way down all the way onto the pitch. Sir Alex could have stopped it for a few years, but now we got nothing. Dead men walking, sir. I'm not writing off the season just yet. If everyone remembers, Arsenal got smoked at Brentford. Arteta's head was on the chopping block, and they had a good season. Ten Hag, we got to back our boy, obviously. The club is a joke, you know, from many different perspectives. We're a laughing stock, you know. I'm sure you're getting a lot of texts. I'm getting a lot of texts from my Scouse Bastard friends. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Through the good and the bad, I love this team, love this club. Don't love that kit, though. I will definitely say that.
I'm good on the construction worker kit so you don't get hit by traffic. I mean, that is a hounder. Almost as bad as the performance United put out. Ooh, De Gea put out yesterday. That was rough all around. But like you said, sir, United should have been in a position looking for another rebuild, but even in the rebuild to pass that haven't gone well, Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho, they spent money. We ain't spending no money, sir, because ain't no money to spend. And at the same time, half this team, probably more than half this team, that 11 we were talking about, is like used to be four or five players get into the scout side. Maybe it was three. Then it was two. One or two. Now it's nobody. Ain't nobody good enough in that 11 to play for either of the two top sides in England at the moment. And the thing is like United is damned to make the same mistakes over and over again, because at the end of the day, you could put Pep Guardiola in, you could put Jurgen Klopp in, nobody could do a better, like that much better of a job given how shit the front office is, these overpaid players that need to be moved out. Harry Maguire's the world captain, Harry Maguire, £80 million. You got David De Gea, the top paid goalkeeper in the world, and let in two blinders yesterday. And he's been on a steady decline for the last 4 years, sir. If you remember Barcelona, how bad that was. And we're just, dude, we're not a serious football club. We don't have ambitious owners. We don't have competent front office. One thing to just have, you know, lazy, greedy owners that couldn't give a fuck. At least put some people in that know what they're doing. You don't have to give them a lot of money to spend, but at least, dude, they get paid well, these idiots that they have running the show. So at least put some competent bodies in, because the Brightons of the world, the Brentfords of the world, the Leeds of the world, they all have better front offices. And those are mid-table sides. We're Manchester United, the greatest football club in the world. So we're not going to be even within a sniff of it until the Glazers leave. And then you get like 3 to 4 years of a concerted build back. Because right now, dude, we are just like floundering in the wind. We are relegation form. Not even just the first two games. You take the way we finished last season, sir, we are like a relegation team.
Look, I don't think we're getting relegated, but right now we are playing like definitely bottom 25% of the table form. We are definitely there, and we're bottom table. How many text messages I got with us at the bottom of the table? Look, everyone's screaming, everyone's shouting. Look, this sucks. I'm dejected. Like all the joy from like getting together with you that we've done for like our entire, like for the last almost 20 years watching this team, having a blast, is just like gone. We just like get together and now it's like a comedy show. It literally is a comedy show. We're like laughing. Like if you don't laugh, you cry. That's the way it is today. But you got to take the 10,000 foot view. Everyone's trying to blame the Glazers, blame the players, blame the tactics, blame the front office, right? So this is a multi-layered shit sandwich. And
plenty of blame to go around.
There is plenty of blame to go around, but the way I would, everyone deserves blame. Ten Hag gets like the least amount, obviously, because he's the new man on the job, and that is the way it should be. But you look at how the Glazers run the club, their excuse is they've spent money, but again, you look at how much money they've taken out versus they've spent, they've almost taken out two times more the funds, and the infrastructure's languished. We don't have the training facilities to attract players, the stadium, et cetera. So, like, the club is, like, definitely behind the eight ball from the Glazers' perspective, and they've just taken so much money out. The real issue is them promoting Ed Woodward, and despite our failures on the pitch, he basically stayed and was able to, like, ruin us into the ground. Now they replace Ed Woodward with Arnold, who is his number two. And the main issue that the Glazers have is because they've been sucking so much money out, there's not a lot of money left in the club. So there's no money for a new training facility. There's no money for Old Trafford. And there's no money for new players. And now if you look at where the squad is, we need to just blow up this team and rebuild it from scratch. And the Glazers won't do that because that costs money and we don't have it. Just like our roof was leaking and Carrington's getting £3 million this summer, the Glazers do not have the funds to build a new team. And so right now, Manchester United needs, like, literally you saw it on the field at Brentford, get rid of every single person, bring in completely new players, do it with Ten Hag, do it over three seasons, rebuild the club. That's what we need. The Glazers won't do that because it's going to cost them money. And that's the main issue, is money is gravity, and we've been going in one direction since the Glazers bought us, and their reluctance to rebuild this team has put us in this position, because you heard it from Rangnick, blow it up. Richard Arnold, the yes man, who's going to do whatever the Glazers wants, they're not. That's why we're linked with all these bargain bin buys, dollar store, no money down. That's exactly why we are where we are, and the Glazers are feeling the heat. Glazers out, press them, because our owner needs to be thinking about the long-term vision, 10 years, training facilities, world-class recruitment, not numpties who don't know what they're doing. Manchester United, back against the wall. Us fans have to take control. Green and gold till the club is sold, sir.
That's it. That's it. It is a Glazer Out pod, first and foremost, because that is the root of all the problems beyond just, you know, the greed, the dividends, like you said, instilling and giving power to Ed Woodward for a decade just to drive the club into the ground and then be like, well, what went wrong? What could we have done differently going forward? And they picked his number two. And look, it's doing making the same kind of decision. So they spent $1 billion, but how have they spent it? They pissed it down the drain. Like you said, by the time you get to the rebuild, the guy who might be competent enough to actually pull off a rebuild over time, right? Like 3-4 years, that's what it take with multiple 100-pound windows after another, back-to-back. There's no money left. There ain't no money left. That's why they got rid of Ralf Rangnick, kicked his ass out, threw him out with the bathwater, sir, because he was like, this is not... It's not even hard to see. Like the best thing about it is it's so obvious that you look at that 11, you see the personalities in that squad, you see the players that think they've made it in the world because they're they achieved a certain number at Manchester United, both in their contract and on the back of their shirt. Dude, we don't need to work that hard. But look, Ralf Rangnick was right, and they got rid of him because it was expensive. Like you just said, it's like, this is going to be expensive. And there are clubs that spend less money than us that spend money better than us. Look at Brighton. They got a player that now apparently looking at that we could have gotten for $5 million.
No, but 12 months ago. Cassiedo,
exactly.
We were offered $4 million, and we turned him down. No, but it's not. It has to do with the fact that the Glazers ran the club, and I thought that they needed a cash windfall. That was supposed to be the Super League. They didn't get it, and so every time the Glazers would kind of take too much money out, they would spend short term. Everything we did was spending short term. Sanchez, Cavani, short term, short term. Just give the fans something, and we need ownership who is thinking about the next 50 years of Manchester United, like John Henry Davies did, and that's why we're absolutely the laughingstock of the league. Enjoy it. Enjoy the green.
Enjoy it.
I'm gonna go down on blaming the kit for the loss.
I agree.
I'm just gonna say, hey,
could have helped.
Look. It's just the way it is, bro. You just got to deal. This is a shit sandwich. You got four tiers. Got a lot of shit in it. You got to take a bite because
double decker shit sandwich. Double decker.
All that shit sandwich yields to that, which is like players being paid top dollar to do fuck all under their third manager. So no matter who you bring in, they ain't gonna try. They're not gonna do it. Luke Shaw's never gonna lose the 20 pounds he needs to be able to catch that guy on the counterattack. It's just not going to happen. And you know what? You got to get rid of Luke Shaw, but you know what? We can't afford anyone. So he's playing. And as long as that's the dynamic, you're going to be seeing that every single week. And we are going to be seeing a lot of it this season. It's going to be entertaining. How low can we go? We can only go up from 20th in the table, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. Look, if you like the American Devils, we are four fans by fans. We don't have any sponsors on this podcast. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. The best way you can support us directly, again, because we are backed by you, the fans, so we can say and do whatever we want. That is what our platform is all about. You sign up, you get a behind-the-scenes podcast episode every single month. We give away shirts, scarves as well. Please check it out. Also, take a look at AmericaRedDevils.com. We have a store there. You can buy our new scarves. They are absolute fire, another great way to support us. Check out our Discord channel as well. There's links posted on our website and on Twitter. Join over 700 Muppets talking about this great team and this amazing meltdown of a loss. It was absolute riot. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or five-star reviews, the American Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen, is a great way to support the pod. It goes a long way, and even better, we have the longest running giveaway in the game, sir. We're still giving away some free merch, some free swag. All you have to do, write a five-star review wherever you listen and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it right to your door anywhere in the world. We mean it when we say that, sir. We send it globally. And I got a hot review coming fresh off the presses to lighten things up from Son of Artie. Happy to have found these guys. Really enjoying this podcast as an American in Boston who's been watching United since around 2003, back in 20, $20 pay-per-view United matches when my dad relented. I have spent much of my life following the Premier League from across the pond, feeling simultaneously a part of something while living in the wrong country surrounded by New England Patriots fans and casual, since the Red Sox owned them, Liverpool fans. Happy to have found a couple of American gems to share my passions with. This is Football Heritage, a great informative listen with some good laughs and great use of audio clips. While Manchester United may need open heart surgery, this podcast is full of heart and has no problem pumping out quality shows. Appreciate you, son of Artle. Appreciate all the people writing 5-star reviews. We couldn't do without you guys. Need a little joy, sir, before we dip into that pain, Brentford. Brentford looking like top scouts bastards, just like running riot on us. I don't know. Maybe he took the wrong pill before he went into the game. He was like on edibles, sir. He was like, that ball going? Oh, yeah, what a game.
I'll take De Gea Haller for 800. I'll take fat Luke Shaw being dusted for
gassed.
400.
Just gas, sir. Just dusted.
I'll take sloppy corner defending for 200, Alex.
If you that got corner, it I'm sorry, that corner, like nobody puts a ball in. That was bad.
Had it all. We had it all. Brentford 4, Manchester United 0 at the G-Tech Community Stadium, the mighty G-Tech. let's get into that lineup. We had Dave Saves, the world number one in net, number one paid at least. Luke, the impossible meat pie Shaw, he's back to that meat pie. Yeah, he looks like he's sweating out there. Martinez could barely see him out there. I think he's that short. McGuire, slab head there.
Ooh, it's getting bad. It's getting bad on the pot.
Diogo, why are you playing for United? Yeah. DeLow, Fred, can't drop him. Erickson, I'll tell you. If anyone, Erickson's got to be after that game like, what the hell happened?
What'd I do?
Erickson has to be like, I almost died. I had this Cinderella comeback. I go to United, and then I get smoked by my former club. That's brutal. We had Bruno, Sancho, Rashford, and the GOAT, Cristiano Ronaldo. What'd you make of this lineup, Alex?
Hey, I mean, before the 4-0 happened, I liked the lineup. I was happy Ronaldo got back in the mix. I'm happy that wasn't a pure McFred, right? I thought we'd maybe see Eriksen dropping more deeply. And then, like, otherwise, dude, this 11 picks itself. You got injuries, and you got a thin squad. So those fullbacks concern me always. Magoo ain't going nowhere. But otherwise, like, not a huge amount of shockers in this one. What do you think of this 11, sir?
I didn't mind it, honestly. I thought the midfield adjustment was right. Eriksen deep lying. I mean, he played false nine, but he's probably he's the vet in the middle of the park. He's calm on the ball. I like the front three and then the back four. What do you get? I mean, we need to buy a right back. So look, I think it was a good lineup. I'm sure Ten Hag told him what to do. I'm sure that it was run a lot. Like, you know, press, high intensity.
Work hard.
And then we came out and, you know, just start playing the highlights. So we can just quick fire here. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be like automatic, sir. 10th minute. Didn't take long. And De Gea certainly made it easy for Brentford in this one.
Being particularly confident. This could open up kindly for De Silva. And it's wriggled in!
So it's the way it just bumbled by De Gea. I mean, that is like... He had this. I think he had almost the exact same goal on the same side, I believe, against Barcelona after that night in Paris. And that can kind of just let the floodgates open. So there's no defense. I mean, like, a top goalie in the world, let alone like a player that's paid £400,000 a week to be your goalkeeper, it's inexcusable. You know, United wasn't playing that well up to this moment. Actually, like, Brentford had already had some chances, but De Gea letting one of those through. Like I said, he took too many indica edibles, sir. He was just lit out of his mind because that's a howler.
Sir, it's about taking the hits and getting back up from it.
You know? I'll tell you what, he didn't get back up from it.
No, De Gea will bounce back. You know, he's a good guy. Probably not Ten Hag's keeper, but again, can't sell him, can't move him, can't afford to buy anyone. That's the dynamic that you're seeing with this team. Look at right back. Can't move him, can't buy him, can't buy anyone. That's why we have players that just literally look like they're not interested. So again, let's do the next one here.
18th minute, sir.
Oh, more confusion. Jensen!
So at this point, we were just trying to make it easy for Brentford. It was like, first goal, inexcusable. Second one, he just, De Gea puts out a suicide pass to Eriksen, and he's got nowhere to be. It's never the pass to make. He's got Maguire on the right, wide open. I think this is just like he got the shit kicked out of him in the first goal and is feeling bad. And this is like Manchester United poopy pants FC. Just be like, you know, that's just like he's not feeling confident after doing something terrible and does more terrible because that is pretty bad.
Is that your technical analysis of the goal there? The poopy pants?
That's Manchester United's new mascot, Poopy Pants FC, sir.
I said it before the season started, we would concede more goals playing the way Ten Hag wants to play, right? I said it. We're going to make mistakes. Now, obviously, like you wouldn't think De Gea would have a howler, but playing out the back, I felt like, you know, Fred could have given one to Brighton. De Gea gave one to Brentford. I imagine you're going to see one of those howler playing out the back moments per match for the first 10 matches, and then maybe it will click and we'll get it. De Gea, it's not his strength. He's going to make mistakes. This was a bad one. You're right. He's probably in his head, but I'm chalking this up to, hey, playing out the back, this, you got Martinez is new. Dolo, who knows why that guy's there. It's going to be a while before we perfect it, especially because we don't have that, you know, that CDM, that maestro that can pull the strings. So let's get in the next one.
No, it's a good point. It's also a good point. It's like, this is more the De Gea mistakes you would make that you've seen recently, right? Like the howler, the first one, that's just, you know, him not saving the ball is less frequent. Whereas he definitely has one of these kind of suicide passes, giving it to someone who can't get out of there. But here, 31 minutes, sir. Keep it going. It was a fun first half against Brentford.
Right. With depth won by Tony.
So this corner is just like a comedy of errors, given like kind of loops back over. Nobody does anything. De Gea just, he's not getting involved, sir. He's not a physical keeper. He doesn't seize the ball. But also like where are the defenders at? Obviously Martinez kind of gets dusted, but dude, we got size in the box right there. Maguire's doing nothing. I'm sure Eric De Hag isn't telling his players to defend this way. Also Dolo just like popping it right back over the box. Sir, it's bad everywhere. It's bad everywhere.
Sir, next goal.
And this is actually a good goal. United just getting sliced open on the break. 35th minute. Could the pain end? Please, let's hope so.
Tackle from Jensen. And what a ball for Tony, who's joined by Mbomo. Here comes Brian Mbomo! Can this really be...
And in some ways, this is like... In some ways, the most damning goal, right? We're like in the box, Sanchez gives it away, and then Shaw, like we hear about all preseason, how fit this team is, and he just gets absolutely like smoked, sir. You would have thought he got smoked by Mbappe because he looked like he was chasing down a bag of cheeseburgers, nowhere near it.
Sir, you can see the gut, bro.
I know, bro.
You can see the weight he's carrying there. You know, it's like, and like, yeah, Mourinho like probably called him out on it in front of the whole team, and he got poopy pants, and now he's back snack shack. You know, he's back at the snack shack, and yeah, he ain't catching that dude. I mean, like, that's like, as a left back in the Premier League, you gotta be
We gotta keep laughing. This is the only way this is fun.
Year. Like it's over. Game set match first half. Like this is like, I thought my gut said we're losing today because you know, call it poopy pants or, you know, just like soft serve or whatever you want to call. I was like, Brentford's going to put up a fight 2-1, you know, similar to like Brighton. But like, this was just, wow, you're really going to go there. And this is where the players on the field, when life hits you and keeps hitting you, like Rocky said, there's a certain point where someone's going to stand up and say enough of this shit. Like someone in this locker room, that's the most perplexing thing about these players. And you have to go at the players because the players are part of the problem. You would think that there's a certain level where these professionals, like, yeah, I might be getting paid $200K a week. I might have a bunch of followers on Instagram, might drive a nice car. But at a certain point, you got to have pride in your profession and taken this many blows, they would get together, have like a players meeting, like sort this out. And I just, their ability to keep going lower is just what is spectacular about the situation. So obviously we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but man, these group of players, they know no shame. Like, they're not second half. Like, let's get into a triple sub. Malasia, Varane, McTominay. Yeah, fuck it. Put these guys on. Like, at this point, it's just like, whatever.
Can't go worse.
I didn't think this was a great sub lineup from Erik ten Hag, given like we're down four goals.
Trying to stop the bleeding, bro. That's what this was.
I think if you're the Manchester United manager, you're down 4-0. You'd rather concede three and try to get back in the game. I think you want to get back in the game. I didn't like this. And you put McTominay on. Lord have mercy on that. He looks, sir.
Horrible.
You and me could play there.
We couldn't. But there are other players.
He kicked the ball out of bounds.
Like a bunch of times.
Nobody, like, nobody's on him. Times.
Yeah.
Like, 51st minute, Ronaldo headed it, like, not even going anywhere. That's like, not even a chance.
That was the only chance.
Alonso came on.
Yeah,
this is nothing. Dude, this game was nothing. It was lost in the first 35 minutes. Erik ten Hag, lot to do here. Tom Petty, great song called Free Fallin', baby. We are
I love Tom Petty.
We are free fallin'. Like hit every branch on the tree on the way down. We ain't down yet.
Like, still falling, bro.
I'll tell you, when we went to that game against Crystal Palace, it was scary to see it in person. Like, it's hard to translate it, but like,
I was telling you on the Liverpool game I went to. It's like, you can't believe it.
No, but like, seeing the body language I saw is like, Dalot gone, Maguire gone, lots of players on that team just need to be shipped. Like, get them out because they just don't care. And then not doing any of that business and then coming again, my gut was like, dude, we could be in for it. And it's like, wow. And so, because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you don't know the whole story, and you know, you can kind of read into it. And when you're there, you can see it a little better. But man, we're in the thick of it. Stats wise, Brentford 13 shots to our 15. They had 7 on target to our 4. We had 67% of the ball to their 33%, but they outran us. They outsprinted us. And that's the one thing about this Erik ten Hag reign. If you were to be like, okay, we lose and no forward player has scored a goal for Manchester United, right? We're horrible. We're 20th in the table. And we saw us like running and trying to play ten Hag ball. Like, I'd be totally fine with this result. I would be totally fine if you saw us like trying to play the way ten Hag wants.
Right.
And we're just not there.
I'm making mistakes.
We are not even playing the game at a level this is not even, I would argue that like we would this team and the way that they're playing would struggle against a championship team. Honestly, dude, I was watching Chelsea Tottenham. Oof. We're not even on the same, we don't deserve to be playing the same league. That's how we are so far off of it. Kicking the ball out of bounds to nobody on a regular basis, bro. Like, we are literally this team, and the only way to, this goes into like the juju and the, do you believe in like ghosts? Like, something's off, and we got to just like blow this entire team up. And I think it was when Sir Alex took over, he blew up the entire team. There was one player on it. I think Brian Robson, when he won his first title. And that's the level of blow up we need here over 4 seasons. So, we should have started it last January. We should have started it this summer. And because of the Glazers, because of Arnold, because of Martial, we haven't. And you're just seeing like a really good coach with this like horrible situation under him. And it's going to be a hell of a year.
And he's getting left out to dry, like you said. It's like, it'd be one thing if we're playing high octane football, high press, high work rate. We saw some of that in preseason. Obviously, that's preseason. But like, dude, this is just like last year. They were walking around. That fourth goal, we were in their final third, and we just like, we lost the ball, and half the players didn't track back. Half the players. And those are the players that you should probably cut, because this team, it needs to be blown up, bro. Like you said, it's like, but it's going to keep slipping because the Glazers aren't going to spend money. They're going to get frustrated with Erik ten Hag when he gets frustrated, but they're setting him up for failure. They're just setting him up for failure because we lost 16 players. So we lost 16 first-team players. We added three. One's a backup. And half this, more than half, three-quarters of the team needs to be, like, gutted, thrown out. Not gutted, but, you know, be like, have their places moved and kicked off a team and sold. But they're not going to take a loss. Do you think they're going to sell Harry Maguire for £20 million? But that's what they should be doing. Luke Shaw, sell him. AWB, sell him. Rashford, probably selling him, bro. Like, he ain't running. Most of the team needs to be sold.
I understand that, but like Ten Hag doesn't get like a hall pass either. You know, he brought in McTominay. He's starting Martinez over Varane. Like, that's bold. Varane's healthy, ready to go. Like, you know, these are some bold moves. But of all the issues, like, that doesn't matter, because if you start McTominay over Fred, nothing changes. If you start Varane over Martinez, maybe he stops like one goal. I don't know. We're just out of sorts.
It's not like Pogba's on the bench, sir. And it's not like he could like bring out Pogba or Matic. It's like McTominay or Donny Van de Beek, who couldn't even get on Everton's team.
But what, you know, it's just the weird thing where I think he should be going down the list a little more, and we'll see it. Big game.
big game next Monday.
We're 20th in the table. That's all you need to know. -5 goal differential. Couldn't have a worse start. Let's hear from the man himself, Ten Hag.
Well, Eric, it's a bad day, a really bad day. Can you explain at this moment why and how that's happened?
Not difficult for me, also a surprise. And when you start the game like this, I think in 35 minutes you concede 4 goals. It's not possible. And so the team has to take the responsibility. I feel really sorry for the fans. And they did everything to support us, but we let them down.
So you say surprise. Is it disbelief, really, at what you've seen at the moment?
Also to do with that, but it's just they are good players. And then you have to take responsibility on the pitch as a team and as individual. And that is what we didn't do.
So you say it's the team. So they didn't do what you asked them to do today?
No, but I asked him to do is play with belief and take responsibility for a performance, and that is what we didn't do.
So are you surprised at that? They seem like a very fragile group of players. They started well last week and it quickly went wrong. Even the first 4 or 5 minutes today weren't so bad, and then the minute something goes wrong, they seem to really struggle.
Yeah, that is the truth, and we have to see that, and we have to work on that. And it's only when we stick together and we work hard, we come over that. But belief you have to bring on the pitch for yourself and as a team.
Is that something for you as a manager, belief, that's very, very difficult to change?
No.
You can't do it on the training pitch, is what I mean.
Of course not. Don't get me wrong. The manager is responsible as well.
Sir, we don't need to go long on this. this miserable shit.
You don't want to hear what the manager has to say, our new manager, after he gets a kick out of him, not back to the. I was hoping he'd say something spicy about needing players.
He kind of threw the play. He did say he went out. He told them to play in a certain way and they didn't do it. That's fair. Let's hear what Gary Neville has to say. Let's go maybe 60, 90 seconds here. We don't need the...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
5'9", centre half away at Brentford. Very difficult. And I think he's seen that. But those players, I think, to be fair, we told the story of them now for 12 months. And I feel like they're just continually saying the same things about the same people. However, I can't believe 8 months out, 9 months ago, was it Ralph Raniak said that Manchester United needed open heart surgery? He was the guy that was going to come in and direct this club moving forward beyond his coaching role. So they've obviously not listened to him, or they've got complete inability to be able to bring the players into the club. And that's the problem now. Manchester United in the past, in the last 10 years, have always answered the fans' anger through money and spending in the transfer market. The problem is now no one wants to take the money. And that's a massive issue.
And maybe no one wants to come here at the moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No one wants to take the money. I mean, at the end, they can't spend the money. Mm. And that's a big problem. And so I said at half-time, if you're a player watching that performance in the first half, what are you thinking about coming to this club? You know, it's a great football club. It's a magic football club. It's been the biggest thing in my life. And I couldn't be sort of more proud to support the club. But at this moment in time, it is really desperate. Really, really desperate. There's no leadership. There is no voice. You can't blame... you know, the individual player or the manager. You know, you've got to look above. You have to look to the very top now. And this week, honestly, they're going to get peppered, those players, the coach, the sporting department, the new CEO, they're all going to get peppered. But there's a family over there in America who are just literally letting their employees take all the hits for them. And that is unforgivable. They've got to get on a plane. Joel Glazer's got to get on a plane tomorrow. He's got to get over to Manchester and he's got to start to divert the issues away from the club and tell everybody what the hell his plan is with the football club. What is he doing?
Yeah, I get that, but you can't...
You think Joel Glazer's flying over to worry about anything but maybe getting some hair plugs, because that's what he really needs to be doing. I mean, that's Malcolm Glazer. They're both pretty bald, last time I checked. But, sir, he knows it. Neville knows it. Dude, the team's got no heart. No one's standing up for themselves, you know, and the team needs major investment. It's not that no one's going to take our money. It's that we ain't got enough money to shill around because, you know, we probably couldn't get the top players if we're competing with competitive, organized football clubs. We have no cash, sir. This is actually about having enough money just to buy players. Not that, like, we can't attract players. You know, which maybe was a thing in the past as well. And I'm not saying that's not an issue United has. But, like, this is just about not having enough money to go and spend money in the transfer market. Nor do we have acumen in front office to pull off us do transfers and, like, hey, we should lean in here. We have, you know, thinness in the squad in the midfield in general. I know you want Frankie, but we should get another body in. Like, dude, there's nobody backing him up at all. You know, Erik ten Hag's been left out to dry.
I totally agree. I'm also just going to say, like, there's a bit of you need the man for the moment, you know? And I think with Ten Hag, he's a big disciplinarian, you know, and a team in free fall with a very disciplined coach, that's a dangerous combination. Only because, you know, it could just accelerate them throwing him under the bus, and that's the bluffers. I'm not going to believe them, and I don't think they're right. But in the situation where you have a board that doesn't want to change the players have the power, and that's my concern, is that I think Ten Hag should be given a solid 3 to 5 year rebuild backed with $500 million done the right way. Will the Glazers do that, or will they throw fans red meat by trying to blame it on him? That's what I'm worried about. So we have to back the manager, protest the Glazers. And by the way, sir, we got a next match. Manchester United versus Scouts Bastards. It's our third game already. Holy shit. They feel like they blend together, those two. Monday, August 22nd, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Sir, Monday Night Football, Lifetime versus Liverpool. We've won 89. We've drawn 68. We've lost 80.
They're catching up, sir.
It's about to be 81. The last five, we've lost 3, 1-1, and drawn. First time we ever played them, 1894, was a test match between Newton Heath and Liverpool. Green and gold, baby. We lost 2-0. Last season, did the double. Aggregate, 9-0. I think they're going to beat that this year.
I
have a feeling.
Oh, I was there for that, sir. It was a fun one.
The only good thing is that they did draw Fulham on opening day. They play Crystal Palace tomorrow. We shall see how they are in form. Sir, Scouts Bastards, we hate them for a lot of different reasons. You know, we'll keep it brief here, but, you know, we fight them. We got the 20 titles. They got the 19. They got the European Cup 6 times, star 3. We fight them for the overall title, greatest of English football. It's a tough one, but most importantly, we used to hate the Scouts Bastards. At least my first game when I went to Old Trafford in 2010 and watched them play the Scouts Bastards, and they were like Jamie Carragher, bunch of bums, and like we would be beating up on them, winning the title, having a laugh. Now it is flipped completely.
They're having a laugh.
And we are, when I say free fallen, we're getting to the territory right now where it's like, it used to be like, hey, okay, we're Manchester United, but we didn't make Champions League, so we could recruit some players. Manchester United in Champions League definitely can recruit the top players. But now Manchester United, without Champions League, and just the way we're playing, like, Frankie de Jong ain't going to come seeing that. Nobody's going to come seeing that. You know, we were lucky to get Eriksen. That says a lot of kind of where we're at as a football club. We are getting to that point where players will avoid coming to United. Think of what Paul Pogba has to say about United. Think about what the former managers have to say about United. Rangnick's telling players not to come. I'm sure Mourinho tells players not to come. LVG tells players not to come.
Would you
and
go?
Why is that?
If you were a top player.
It's because of the Glazers, dude. And it's because of the Glazers. you know,
if you were top player, sir, if you're a top player coming out of France or Portugal or Germany or wherever, would you? I wouldn't join Manchester United.
Yeah, but this is how the
as a neutral.
Yeah, but this is how it's going to go. So now we can't recruit even like the Falcaos or the Di Marias or the Cavani's anymore. So now you're going to be in the Arnautovic land. And then eventually you just have to blow up all those guys because we're just going to recruit has-beens now. And then you just have to build it from the youth. And then you have to somehow be relevant, like win the FA Cup. And then somebody might come. You know, so we have to go through like a whole like probably decade of like bottoming out, building it from the ashes again, and then recruiting top talent. Because we're no longer in the sign Paul Pogba when he did game. Not saying that was good or bad, but we're not going to be like signing these like world-class talents like Mbappe, Haaland, like, you know, like these type of names. They're not going to come for a long, long time. And you got to go through that so that it's cool when those players come back because, you know, everyone's going to...
One day United will be cool again.
Yeah, exactly.
Our kids aren't going to like them. They're going to be like, this team sucks, bro.
Be like, oh, yeah, remember United? Yeah, they were sick. And then, like, you know, all that retro stuff. So injuries-wise, you know, Martial is injured. You know, our famed number nine, the one we tried to ship that no one would buy and we kept, another Glazer move. Brandon Williams is out. Lindelof has a knock. And Pellistri has a foot injury. There has been an update on him. Given those are the players, what is your lineup there?
Sir, I got Tom Heaton in net. DeLow, I'm doing a back three. DeLow, Varane, Maguire, Martinez, Malacia, Fred, Eriksen, Bruno, Ronaldo, Sancho. Who do you got, sir?
You know that he's not starting Heaton, bro.
I mean, I haven't seen De Gea play that bad ever.
You may have written the season off, but per that Rocky clip,
I was right. I said this season was a write-off.
No, you're not, baby. You're not because it's not about. It's about taking the hits so you can come back, baby.
You got to put your hands up at this point. This is like Rocky. Put your hands up. Yeah, you get bubbled.
It's true, sir. You know, it's true. De Gea, I'll tell you what. He's not the keeper for the long term. It's obvious he's not the keeper for the long term, and he's not Ten Hag's keeper. So, like, I'm not going to beat De Gea into the ground. He's a good guy. He gave an interview and took it on the chin when he didn't have to. That's captain material.
He did.
And he said it's my fault and took ownership. That is a good player, a good person, and a good character in a sea of vanity at Manchester United. So as much as he did blow the game, as much as he isn't the play out the back keeper, he's a good character. So I'm not going to hate on him. He can take the hits. He's coming back. De Gea in net. I love you, De Gea. Hope you're listening. Ethan Laird at right back. Yeah, DeLow, he's fired already. Maguire, Varane, Shaw, Fred, Bruno, Eriksen, Sancho, Rashford, Ronaldo. Got to be starting Varane, man.
It's like, yeah, I agree.
You got to start Varane. I mean, like Martinez, I like him. I like to see him play CDM. I like to, like, we're at that point already. We got to start trying new stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right.
Booking the bookies, Liverpool, their favorites -210. United, you get 5.5 times your money. You bet them in the draw. +360, given those the odds. This is obviously, you know what the result is going to be. It is how big the result is going to be. What do you got?
You know, I'm going to take last year's home performance that I was lucky enough to enjoy every minute of, sir. 4-0. I think we do one better. You know, Liverpool, like, has some sympathy for us and just takes their foot off the gas, save their energy for, you know, mightier opponents like Crystal Palace. So I think 4-0. What you got?
Sir, a little history for you. In October 1895, Liverpool bashed Newton Heath in 7-1 in the second division. That was the first official tie we had. 7-1. Repeat history here.
7-1. Probably.
I don't think.
Could be.
By the way, it was only 5-0 because they were nice.
Oh, they barely. Sorry, I was there, bro. They gave up in the 10th minute against us. They're like, this team sucks. They never got out of first gear, bro. And they annihilated us.
And that's the difference between us and the Scouse Bastards is Sir Alex Ferguson was mean, and we would have scored 9.
Yeah,
and we
would have rubbed
in their
he
face. But that's the attitude that this – it's like, you forgot who you were.
I like that. He's like, I still love you. Don't forget to call your mother. Yeah.
You've changed because United, we would have scored 9 and went for 10. We would have rubbed it in their face. That's the type of team we were. We were mean mugging back then. What a time, too. And by the way, mean mugging back then was way better than mean mugging now. Everyone's way softer
Oh yeah.
now than back in the day. when United was like titans of Europe.
Yeah, keep talking about it.
That's all I got.
That's all we got, sir.
Let's get in the news. All right, United in the news.
Anything good for me?
Rabiot.
What'd you say about bargain? What'd you say about bargain bin, bro?
We've been doing this pot for 5 years, and it's funny because the bargain bin end of the window thing started off as a joke like 5 years ago, and it's like literally what we do. It's like there is no explanation for how the summer has gone. There's no explanation.
So like, this is Arnold, when you go to Best Buy and they have like the $3 movies like on your way out, like that, just like that. You know, they have like that big ass box of just like $3, $5 movies. You're like, oh, they got, you know, Blue Streak, $5.
I know.
That's the Rabiot, bro. No, ain't nobody want Rabiot. Ain't nobody want him.
By the way, buying random players at the end of the window to stop gap positions does not work. And it's clear it does not work. And it has never worked ever since we've been doing it. And this is what we're going to do. I'd much rather buy a talented, like, 19-year-old for $25 million that we've never heard of, who can play this position, than Rabiot. Because $200,000 a week, you can't sell him. You're paying. This is the whole issue. Phil Jones on a ton of money. Martial on a ton of money. You can't get rid of these big wage contracts. He's not that good. And we're just going to go, we do need bodies, but the direction we're heading in with this type of stopgap signing on a big money deal, we got to get over that. We need to be signing up-and-coming young talent. Hopefully Ten Hag is a better list than just Frankie at the top and nobody else on it. Who the hell knows what we're doing? You look at the stats from Rabiot, doesn't score. Non-penalty XG, non-penalty goals, 12th percentile for midfielders. Assists, 50th percentile. Shots, 53rd percentile. Passes attempted, he's in the 29th percentile. Completion rate, 55th percentile. Progressive passes, 14th percentile.
What a 74th, player. What a player,
74th
sir.
Percentile for progressive carries. He has 82nd percentile for pressures and tackles and blocks. Also, aerials one. So, like, there is a defensive component, but overall, just not the player for the money. And, again, big money wages, it's just they stay on the books. You can't ship them. It just – this we're already – in this situation. So why are we going to keep going down this road?
Because when you don't learn from the mistakes you make in the past, you are destined to repeat them. And that's all we're doing. When you like, you took an accountant / banker and made him your CEO, and then he retired in shame, and you bring in his second command, who is just as unqualified as the last guy, you're doomed to make the same mistake, sir. And this is like you said, bargain bin, overpaid player who basically Juventus wanted to pay another club to take him off the books earlier in the season, earlier in the transfer window. And here we are, like, overpaying for him. Their fans can't even believe it. We're paying 15, 20 million for him. Like you said, sign a 19-year-old, sign some kid you've never heard of in the French league, in the German league, who won't contribute right away, but like another player who has attitude issues. He's got issues with his mom being the agent, who's like a nut, apparently, absolute nut. And at the same time, just like another kind of like diva French guy. We already got rid of the last one named Paul Pogba. He went to Juventus. This is just it. Sorry.
If he signs for us, he's only signing for money. So
exactly.
Anyone
nobody
like
wants to come play for us.
Signs
right
for United.
Unless they want to play for Ten Hag, sir.
Exactly. So Rabiot, you know it. We don't like him. Again,
that means we'll sign him.
The stupid Muppet in me is just like, oh, if we sign him, he'll turn out great. But I have to like beat that hope out of me to be like, he's horrible, he will be horrible, and you should not do this deal because we should be thinking a totally different way. And I don't know how we're not doing it. Speaking of thinking another way, Rashford, who knows if this is smoke, PSG interested. We heard around 60 million last year on the deal. He's obviously renegotiating a deal with Manchester United. So maybe Marcus's brother, I think, is his agent. He was kind of like, this could be a bunch of BS trying to get a new deal out of United. If it is real, Manchester United have to sell him. They have to sell him. If PSG will give you 60 something million pounds, you have to sell Rashford and then turn around and start spending that money. Because A, we don't have a lot of money. And B, Rashford's had a solid amount of time to turn it around. He has not. The biggest red flag for me is Phelan kind of taking shots at him. And Phelan was the assistant coach under Ole and Rangnick. And he called out Rashford for basically not trying. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think it's at a certain point, like Martial, it's like, just move on. We need to get better at the moving on and getting new players in. Because I wish it would work out. I wish Marcus would be the top goal-scoring player for Manchester United all time. Like, that's what I thought he would be. And, I mean, like, other than this, it's signed him on a big money deal, and I don't think we should do that either. So, you know, I think it's time Rashford moves on.
But that's a likely outcome, is that, like, they're going to just give him a massive contract, keep him around. I tend to agree. If this was a competent club that could take 60 and turn it into two players and, you know, let him go on to greener pastures, United is in love with the idea of Marcus Rashford, right? Like, the idea of having a number 10, Mank, born and bred, good lad, probably does too much stuff off field. A lot of it, though, is good, right, for the greater good in England and the UK. But at the end of the day, it's like he has clearly not gone the way we would have hoped. He has certainly been a player that you could call out for not showing the right work rate, especially at his age. You know, I think at this point it would be the right move, but they're not going to sell him because, like you said, he's the option. If they're going to re-sign De Gea, De Gea's contract ends this year too, sir. His massive contract. And they'll probably just re-sign him because it's cheaper. It's cheaper to do that than go out and buy a new player. And I'm almost certain they'll do the same thing with Marcus Rashford because they lost Greenwood. This is their golden boy. And even though he's not firing, sir, he still sells kits.
Yeah, I think we did ruin him in some way. So I also think Manchester United deserves some blame. We played him when he was injured. We probably created more injuries for him. But again, like, the whole thing about this club is just getting toxic. And if you're going to be changing, if this club needs open heart surgery, you need to be selling anyone who's worth anything because you're going to need those funds to build a new team. And Rashford, you know, it's like once you've been there, it's been that bad, it's time to move on. I'm not going to comment on the United is going to terminate Ronaldo's contract. That's BS. I mean, this comes from like the Daily Star, but there were some rumors about that. But from what I saw from another baseless source, this isn't real. But we can't be terminating any contract right now because Ronaldo's pretty much the only thing that will keep.
Who's leaking coming. That? Is that a Ronaldo camp leak? Like, yeah. Cancel my contract so I can go sign for whoever I want. Because as a free agent, he could probably get a deal at a Champions League club for sure, as long as they don't have to pay 15, 20 million. And also, Joel Glazer is apparently just like stonewalling any deal for Ronaldo to leave, sir.
Yeah, so this is kind of like up for debate. But yeah, this whole terminate contract thing, is just it did happen. It is kind of around. You know, you can search for it on social, but like I'm going to say that's baseless. He's probably just furious about that kit he had to wear.
It was bad. It was even worse watching, like, I'll tell you what, Shaw did not look any faster just getting dusted, like dusted to the bus stop, bro. That was unbelievable how slow he looked.
Yeah, but we talked about a lot of things, right? The players were absolutely horrible. We talked about the owners not willing to change it. We talked about the front office being incompetent. You look at who we're linked to. We got, like, no options. There's, like, no one interesting at all we're being linked to that could help us in the situation. The squad is screwed. The manager is being left out to dry. And we have a horrible start to the season. We said it on this pod. For whoever listens, I said, United, we don't have the money to spend. Arnold famously drank a few beers. He lied about it. I said, this summer is when fans are going to rise up because we're going to realize that they're going to play. They played us on Rangnick. They didn't spend any money, and they aren't. And the owner's got to go because the problem is they don't got no money, dude. We got no money and no options, and that's why Arnold was rambling at a bar like he needed to get some sleep. Like, he literally, like, hey, man, you all right? Like, are you okay, dude? Like,
what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here, bro?
Yeah, what are you doing? So, and this is why big protest against the Liverpool game, 1958, they're leading it. We have been in touch with 1958. We support the 1958. Must is kind of starting to turn the corner too. I hope we're seeing momentum in the press against the Glazers. This has to be the biggest protest to date. If you are going to the game, please participate. If you're in the area, please participate. We need to make a huge statement on Monday because enough is enough. There's like a baseless rumor of like a consortium and a buyout. I really find it funny. And again, you and me have the background in finance, like working on these transactions, like fans who are missing teeth talking about hostile takeovers they know nothing about. It's like there ain't no bid. They're a public company. There's a process for it, and it has to all come out in the open market. And by the way, when you acquire a company, you you pay for the debt. It's called enterprise value. So at the end of the day, there'll be a new capital structure. There'll be a new share structure, and the company would be private if it was purchased. So until the person who is going to buy them, who has all the money, starts talking about it or writes a letter and makes it be known to the market, nothing's happening. So it's a bunch of hopium. I'm trying to caveat that. And basically, it's Sir Jim Ratcliffe. So if some other guy is rambling on social media,
yeah, that guy's a nobody. He's got no
doing
money
on YouTube.
He's got no money. That guy.
Those guys are just doing it for attention. That's a grift.
Yeah, he wants
but
your
if
money.
Jim Ratcliffe comes out and writes a letter, and that letter is public, it's going to take over $4 billion to do it. And by the way, I don't think Sir Jim Ratcliffe is going to pay that, because not only do you need that $4 billion to get the Glazers out, you're going to need another $1.5 billion to invest into the club. Somehow, some way, this will happen. I don't know how, but it's going to take time. But let's just keep the pressure on the Glazers and try to get them out in a big protest. So I'm very excited for it.
Let's keep it peaceful, but let's show up in numbers, sir. I think, like, you empty the stadium. Trust me, there's nothing worth watching on display when they're playing the Scouse Bastards based on how we're coming out these days. And that's it. Our only hope, you know, it's got to be sustained pressure. We will never get better. We will never get better as long as the Glazer family owns this storied club. So we got to keep the heat on them. Don't buy the kits. Sir, you know, we're in a conflicted place being season ticket holders, but that's kind of a land grab, if you will. But at the end of the day, it's like we need to have our voices be heard. They're already filling it with the sponsors, sir. The brand itself is just sliding, with the fact that they just can't hoard out to the same degree that Ed Woodward could. Like, I'm telling you, in 13 and on, he was selling every cup of noodle sponsorship he possibly could. But now it's just the gloss is off this bad boy. It's just like this thing stinks because people that are in the game know that the club is just so mismanaged, so poorly run.
It's surprising how bad it's like.
It's worse than you ever thought. It's worse than you could ever have imagined.
You and me could literally go in there and do a better job.
No doubt.
It's crazy because we would be like concerned about we'd be focused on football and hiring and knowing what we don't know and hiring smart people and admitting our mistakes. Those are real critical things.
Simple things, dude.
Fan questions. These are hot and spicy. Let's jump in.
Well, you put the paste in. John put a photo in from our yearbook of me joining freshman year. So I like the banter. Sorry, sir. Didn't mean to interrupt.
I had to drop it in there. Alex, freshman year, sir.
Luke Shaw thickness.
At Rolling in the Deep 1995, quote, nosediving into the abyss. De Gea was next level atrocious. DeLow and Shaw are championship level. Amen to that. McGuire should retire. To be honest, all 11 of them were horrific. Time for a hiatus from this game and this team. Thanks for nothing, Manchester United. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Mertz out. I mean, it's true. It's like all the hopium for the new season's gone. It's just like I've never had a season be like,
two games like in, this, bro. Two games
and
in.
And then you're about to play the Scouse Bastards. Ooh, let's go. We'll be watching. This is going to be an interesting one. Can't wait to get up for 4:30 Southampton as well. 4:30 a.m. for Southampton. That might be our first win.
I doubt it, bro. You know how we do in 4:30 games.
At you, Boson. Quote, only solution left is to burn it all to the ground. This can't be salvaged. Force the Glazers out no matter what it takes. Then rebuild. Until then, pain is all there is. I agree. This is a decade-long project. This is a long, long project. We're in the nobody wants to come now, so you get even worse. Yep. Like, you know, like if we kind of play decent against Brighton and Brentford, you might get Frankie. You might be able to do it, but we're untouchable at the moment, and that just puts you in a whole new category of, like, bottom table. At Jamie White, 0139, quote, I don't understand how in a world of Manchester United having so many fans, how the owners have the inability to listen to them, and then have the ignorance and cockiness to draw out 11 million in dividends every year after placing 600 million debt onto the club. The Glazers need to go now. Totally agree. Hashtag Glazers out. We've been that way for the whole 5 years. We haven't gotten stick for that, but you have to see. It's a public company. If you know financials, you can look at the statements. You can see how they're running it. It is unbelievable how this thing is structured. It's horrific. And it's fine that I'm glad fans are coming around to it. At Boninho 11, quote, fans already blaming Ten Hag. We have to be patient as fans, and it's clear replacing managers doesn't work. We won't see changes on this. We won't see changes with this front office and can't expect 9 players that were here in the previous 2 seasons to perform. We need players. It's open heart surgery. What do you make of that? Do you think Ten Hag deserves any blame? Because everything he tried to do over the last 6 weeks is like failed.
Look, I mean, of course he's a little blame, but like there's always going to be growing pains coming into a new job, coming into Manchester United, a new league, right? Stepping up from the Dutch league into the Premier League. But that's normal things. If you look at when the two top coaches in the Premier League, when they first came to the league, they even had some growing pains, but they had competent front offices standing behind them. That is a difference. My only hope is that we can get the Glazers out before we inevitably, like, you know, they just use him as a way to cover for themselves and they throw poor Ten Hag to the fans, because I think he's the man to do the job, but he needs backing, he needs money, he needs expertise, he needs time, he needs talent behind him. And right now, dude, he can't do it on his own, especially when they're not going to give him cash, bro. They gave Louis van Gaal like hundreds of millions of pounds, and they're not giving him nothing. So that's the thing. It's like you give him all the control, but you give him no money to execute, then he's fucked. And he's got all these players on the kitty that are just like, don't give a shit, bro. They're so well paid. They'll never leave because no one wants to pay them the amount of money they're getting paid. No one's going to pay Luke Shaw £200,000 a week, bro.
You know? No, of course, but my whole thing on this one is like, yeah, the fans shouldn't blame him. Ten Hag doesn't deserve blame. Has he done a great job? I mean, like, the way you have to look at it is like, you knew it was over when we hired Rangnick and there was no new manager bounce. That's the first time I've ever seen like the Premier in the Premier League. I've never seen, there's always a new manager bounce and these players are like, we're not bothered. And then Ten Hag, they're like, we're not bothered. So what's going to happen? It's like a formula. It's like Ten Hag is going to get like players, you know, throw him under the bus, especially because he's making a run, especially because he's very disciplined. They're going to definitely throw him the bus.
They cancel the day off. He's going to be there.
They're going to throw him under the bus so fast. And the Glazers are going to be under so much heat that I think Hag gets got because of that. I think the players and the Glazers top to bottom coming on him because he doesn't deserve it. I just think that if you look at where we're headed to a players under the bus, and then the Glazers like give the fans some red meat. And if you can't buy players, the next thing you could do is fire your manager. And then we got Big Sam Allardyce on the touchline.
Yeah, he's keeping us up from relegation.
Yeah, keeping us up. Yeah, it could be that. At Brian D. Burbrink, quote, what is worse, the performance, the uniform, or Fat Arnold sweating like he actually did some work?
I mean, him sweating in the sun in that suit, bro, with like a cherry face, like that's the worst. That's the worst part, because the performance, if you were like, oh, they had a guy that could have done it. His name is Ralf Rangnick. Okay, I'm sure there are issues with Ralf Rangnick, but like he knows the fuck he's doing. He could pick out talent. Look at his talent tenure in terms of the players he's brought in over his career. Unbelievable. If he was there, like, all right, this is a shit show. It's going to take time. We got time. But it's like they got John Murtaugh, the ears, and Fat Arnold just sitting in the sun sweating, bro. It's like, that's our chance, the guy who wants to go get drunk with the fans. So that should have been the first red flag. When we saw that, like, what is this guy doing? He was sweating in that photo too, bro.
No, but the fans thing is a great example that you know he's a numpty. And then the whole, like, sitting in the stands in, like, shirt tie in the sun. And like sweating, and you don't think that image is going to be broadcast around the world? Like of course they're going to be like, oh, look at him, he's like dying up there. Like, get that on. Like, United's losing, and he's like sweating. Like, as a CEO, like if Brentford gave me the seats in the sun, I'd be like, I would just watch it from the concourse because I don't want to be caught like it's a bacon. Bad look for the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company to watch it like fail and like sweating like a stuffed pig, dude. Like it's like
he was sweating.
Like, that guy is like, you know. I bet you go to a business dinner with him and he's got like food flying out of his mouth, dude. He has got no clue how to run a company like this. Like it's like you got to be every premeditated partner. That's how everything's got to be run, and it ain't. And that's why he's randomly meeting up with people at bars and sweating in the stands. Look, that's it.
Meat sweats.
That's the pod. We survived pod therapy. We go again, sir. I'm telling you, this is the new comedy tour that is Manchester United. They're coming into Manchester on Monday, and it's going to be a laugh riot. You're going to see some football follies that if you don't laugh, you cry. But I'm sure Maguire's going to come up with some funny ones like him getting flat-footed, just done in like the first 5 minutes last time we played him. Like we just get like it's going to be ridiculously hysterical. I'm just in for the laughs, and that's what we are. We're the American Rebels. We're four fans by a fan. Support the pod. Check out Patreon, patreon.com/AmericaRebels. Write a review on iTunes. Like, subscribe. Everything you do helps the podcast. Check out our website, AmericaRebels.com. Buy some merch. Helps a small-time operation. Keep it light, sir. Give us the top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Sir, we keep it light. Check out the new scarf. It is fire. 1958 Munich air disaster commemoration scarf, sir. Well done. It was well designed by you. Top cities last 7 days. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Norman, Oklahoma. Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Phoenix, Arizona. Etobicoke, Canada. Sydney, Australia. Leawood, Kansas. Englewood, California. Stafford, Virginia. Ramsgate, United Kingdom. And last but not least, Kodak, Tennessee. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. Couldn't do it without you. We love you guys. It's always darkest before dawn. I think it's going to be dark for a while. You better get your night vision on. So the last time I saw United lose to Liverpool at home, ooh, that was that 5-0 night where the Scouse Bastards never got out of first gear. But the one bright spot of that was when they tried to sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" in the 83rd minute. And United responded back with United Calypso, sir. Still gives me goosebumps because the fans, this club, this is a great club, one of the greatest, and the fans are the beating heart of it. And we got to just keep the pressure where the pressure needs to be applied, and that's on the owners. So, sir, United Calypso.